John 14. Pick up where we left off last week. Title of the message, If You Had Known Me. And the subject is the unity of the Godhead. If you had known me, you would know the Father. You would know the unity. There's no division between the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. There's no division. One of the most important things that we must understand is the deity of Christ and His oneness, His equality with the Father. They are one. They are one. This was and still is a point of rebellion with the Jews. They do not believe He is God. They believe and still believe He was a blasphemer. He was a religious hookster, a phony. I thought this morning, this thought came to me this morning, the Gentiles have trouble with the sovereignty of our Lord. They want their own will, free will. We hear so much about free will. They have trouble with the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ, saving whom He will. The Jews have trouble with His deity. They have trouble with His deity. Not the issue with them is that this man is not God, but the Bible says He's God. He is God. If He's not God, He can do me and you no good. No good whatsoever. So we need Him as God, and we need Him as a man, the God-man. Now let's pick up here at Thomas. Thomas said, after the Lord talked about going away and coming back, He's going to the Father's house and coming back, and Thomas said to the Lord, we don't know where You are going. How can we know the way? They are going to be taught one of the most important lessons that they will ever learn. And that's the unity of the Godhead. You're looking at the Father when you're looking at me. He had told them He's going to His Father's house. He's going to go and prepare a place for them. And that He was going to come back and take them to that place. And one of the things that I noticed in reading this again is how freely His disciples spoke to Him. How freely they spoke to Him. They found Him easy to entreat. The Lord treated them in such a way that they could have a conversation with Him as a friend to a friend. They respected Him. They called Him Lord. He said in one place, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. And they did. But yet they spoke to Him so freely. Our Lord treated them like little children, His children, because they were, and we are, who believe. He treated them like little children, and they could ask Him any question. Anything that troubled their hearts, they could cast all their care upon Him. If we could only really understand that, I believe it would make prayer easier. If we could understand, we are talking to God, yes. But we're also talking to our brother, our elder brother. We're talking to our friend. That's who we're talking to. And we can cast all our cares upon Him. And this shows here how truly meek and lowly He was and is. And so is the Father. So is the Father. Is the Son meek and lowly? So is the Father. We see the character and nature of the Father in the Son. We see that. And let's not make the mistake of thinking that Christ is somehow different in person than the Father is. Let's not make that mistake. You see, it's absolutely necessary that we understand the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know this, and I know the disciples. They've been with him for 3 years. Right with him. And I know they've seen him in the flesh, and I think that was part of a problem for them because they saw him as a man. But to have a real understanding of him as God, even though they believed him to be the Son of God, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They believed that. But yet somehow they had not really put together that they were one. They are one. There's one God. There's not two or three, there's one. It's like this. When you think of a father and a son, you automatically see a difference, don't you? You see a likeness, but you also see a difference. You know, me and my father, in ways we were alike, but in a lot of ways we're different. That's not so between the Father and the Son. God the Father, God the Son. They are not different in any way, shape, or form. No difference. Now, he said in verse 7, and this is a rebuke, but I think it's a rebuke that it's not a mean rebuke. It's not a mean rebuke. It's a gentle, fatherly rebuke. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from now on, he said, from now on, you know him and you've seen him. And no doubt Philip is like, when did we see the Father? You see, the Lord's going to bring this together. He's going to bring their unity together. Because remember this, they're babes. They're babes. Every believer starts out as a babe in Christ. And they have to be instructed, and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal a lot of things to them that can't be revealed to them could not be revealed to them at that time. They knew him, but not like they're going to know him in a little while. The Holy Spirit's going to, he's going to be given, and he's going to take the things of Christ, as it says later on in this chapter, and he's going to show them, he said, he'll show them the things of mine to you. And then you're going to know a lot of things you don't know now. You're going to know better what you know now. What you're going to do. You know, the Lord tells them that they know more than they think they know. They know more than they think they know. They know the Father. They knew Christ. They knew Jesus Christ. They knew him as the Son of God. But he's saying here, you know him. You just don't realize it yet. But you're going to. You know, and when the Holy Spirit's given, you're going to go, I see. You know, I see things now, almost 50 years later, that I didn't see when I was a young believer. There's things I see now I didn't see then. I understand now better. I saw them then and believed them, but now I've experienced them. I've got some experience under my belt, and I understand them better because I've experienced them. And the Lord says, and from henceforth you know him and you've seen him. He that sees the Son sees the Father. Now Philip said to him, Lord, you see, that's respect, but the atmosphere is such that he can just say what's on his heart. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Give us a visual of the Father, and that'll be enough. That'd be enough. Let us see him for ourselves. Look over in Exodus 24. And I think this is no doubt on their mind in Exodus 24. A couple of scriptures I want to show you. In Exodus 24, look in verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Now, over in Exodus 33, what did Moses say? Lord, show me your glory. And God said, I will. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll make all my back. You'll see my back parts. You can't see my face, but he said, you can see my back part. Well, Philip, no doubt, is thinking, well, show us the Father. Give us a visual like was given to Moses back there in Exodus. Give us a visual. Well, the visual is standing in front of you. You have a visual. You're looking at him. You're looking at the Father. In Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace. What else is it called? The Everlasting Father. This son, this child, and this son given, one of his names will be the Everlasting Father. Because they're one. There's no division. He's really setting forth here his absolute deity. And we must see that. We must see that. God is spirit. He cannot be seen with these eyes. But God in Christ can be seen. Where do we see the glory of God, as it says over in Corinthians? In the face of Jesus Christ. And one day we will see Jesus Christ face to face. And when we see Jesus Christ face to face, guess who else will be seen? God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We'll be seeing the whole fullness of the Godhead. It says this in Colossians 2:9, for in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth, resides all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That could happen nowhere else. You don't see the fullness of the Godhead in creation. You see it in the person of Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You see me, you see the Father. And if we don't see the Father, we really haven't seen Christ. We haven't seen him. We don't know who he is if we don't see the Father in him. And Jesus said unto him in verse 9, have I been so long time with you? And this is a sad statement. But it's probably said of us at any point in our life as believers, have I been so long a time with you and you don't know me? You don't know me. You don't recognize your Father. It'd be sad if my dad walked in here and I didn't recognize him. To show you how sad it is, my mother, you know, she's getting Alzheimer's, but anyway, she didn't recognize my youngest sister, who takes care of her every day. Just about. She didn't recognize her. She asked her, she said, who are you? It's sad when you don't recognize your own family. And it's really sad when we don't recognize the Father. Have I been so long a time with you and you don't know me? Do you not hear the voice of your Father calling you? See how our Lord is taken, he's taken now, because he said this same thing to the Jews. In John 8:19, listen to this. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? This is the Jews speaking to him. Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Well, he's saying that to them, but what he's saying to them, you will know him. You do know him, and you're going to know him better. But he didn't say that to them. He just left them alone. And this shows that salvation is by revelation. God has to reveal himself to you by his Spirit, out of his word, through the preaching of his word. And one day, if he does, you say, I see. And you not only hear the voice of Christ, you hear the voice of your Father. What was it the Lord said to that woman who had the issue of blood and she came and touched the hem of his garment? What did the Lord say to her? Daughter. He called her daughter. See, that's just, it wasn't just the son speaking. It's the father speaking also. Our Lord is showing here the oneness of the Trinity. They are not separated. To know one is to know the other. You know, in Genesis, God said this, "Let us make man in our image and after our..." Not me. He said us. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Trinity. One God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, "Let us do this. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness." And this, I never saw this before. But when God saves a sinner, that sinner in Christ is for the first time made after the likeness of God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father chose, the Son redeemed, and the Holy Spirit regenerates. They're all three involved in it. They're all three involved in the saving of a sinner, in making you, conforming you to what? The image of Christ, which is what? The express image of God. The brightness of his glory and express image of God. Also here, I want you to notice, when our Lord speaks of the Father, he's saying this also. And this is something that we need to really get a hold of. When we see our Lord moved with compassion, we see the Father moved with compassion. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ stoop down and right on the ground where that adulterous woman is, we see the Father stooping down and writing on the ground. Meek and lowly, as I said, so was the Father. You see, the disciples, and this is important, let's get this point. The disciples, like Martha, who separated the resurrection from Christ. Christ said, "Your brother's going to live again." She said, "I know he'll live again in the resurrection in the last days." And he said, "Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Don't look at an event. Look at me. I'm the resurrection. Your brother's already alive in me. He's risen in me. We are alive in Christ. We're risen in Christ. The resurrection is not something separate. It's not some separate event we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at Christ, who is the resurrection." And here's what he's saying. He's telling them, don't look at me and then look over here at the Father. Philip says, "Show us the Father. Give us a visual of the Father." And he's saying, you're separating us. We're not separated. If you hear me speaking, you're hearing him speak. If you see me, you see him. When you see me walking, you see him walking. When I speak, it's his words. When I work, it's his work. It's his work also. The only way to know the Father is to know the Son. They can't be known apart from each other. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Now here's a real statement he makes. "Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words, the doctrines, the teachings that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself as a man." I didn't come up with this. But now listen, put this together. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works." The Lord speaks of the words as being the work of the Father. "Lazarus, come forth." The Lord sends forth his word. That's the words. "Lazarus, come forth." They are so united. They are so one that Lazarus coming forth is a work of the Father as much as it is a work of the Son. It's as much a work. He says, "The words that I speak, they're not of me. They're the work of the Father." The words are the work of the Father. The effects of the word are the work of the Father. You know, the Lord said to that lame man, rise up and walk. Well, the ability to do that, he said, was not just of me, it was of the Father. That's their oneness. They're just like, I mean, it's just one. It's just one. Look over in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, look in verse, let me get there. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Isn't that an interesting statement? He's not saying what the Father tells him to do, that's what he does. He said, what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, whatsoever things the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What he sees the Father do, the Son does. They operate the same. The same. That's why Paul over in Acts 20:28, telling the elders to take care of the flock of God over which God made them overseers, he said, which God purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ did not quit being God when he went to the cross. He didn't quit being God. That is God in human flesh hanging on the cross. That's God. And the work of Calvary is also the work of the Father, as it is the work of the Son. It's the Father who chose. It's the Father who smote him. The Son who suffered. I tell you, they're so one, it's just, you can't separate it. You can't do it. And he's taking his disciples and he's teaching them of the unity of the Godhead. You have seen the Father. You've seen him. They don't work independently of each other. You remember when that young ruler came to the Lord and he said, good master. And he said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. None good, but God's the only one that's good. You can't separate him. You can't separate him. If he's not God, he's saying, if I'm not God, I'm not good. If I'm good, I'm God. I'm God. And to reject me is to reject the Father. See, that's how serious it was when our Lord was speaking to those Jews and they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the same as saying, we'll not have the Father to reign over us. Same thing. Believe me. It's amazing he has to say this to the disciples who were with him for 3 years and saw everything. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, if you don't believe my words, which is sad to say to the disciples that had been with him for a long time, at least believe me for the very work's sake. What you've seen, they saw all his miracles. They witnessed them. You know, only a few people witnessed his miracles that were right there, but they were there on every one of them. They were there. You know, our Lord started out telling his disciples, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe me is what he's saying. Believe what I'm telling you, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me what? I and the Father are one. The Father's with me. You have seen me, and in seeing me, you've seen the Father for 3 years. For 3 years, you have walked with me. You have talked with me. You watched me raise the dead. You watched me give sight to the blind. You watched me feed 5,000. You also watched the Father do all this. He's no different than I am. We're one. We are one. You know, Nicodemus said this, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Brethren, God is more than with him. He is God. He is God. God's more than with him. God was with the prophets. God was with Moses. But God, he is God. He is God. Only God, now listen, and I'm gonna close. Only God can put away sin. An ordinary man, even if he's called a good man, can't do that. Only God can put away sin. Only God can take my sins, now listen, and make them his. Only God can take my guilt and make him his. Go to the cross, die under the penalty of his own law, rise from the dead by his own power, ascend back to heaven, and intercede for me, and present me faultless before God himself. God, there's only one God. God is doing all this. This is what he's saying. God is doing all this. Don't look at me as just a man, because I have no doubt his physical appearance was still a hindrance even to them, because they saw a difference. He's saying there's no difference. There's no difference. Jesus Christ is that one and only God. And he'll show us later in this chapter when he says he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. And you know what he calls him? The Spirit of Truth. What did the Lord say that he was? I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're undivided. They're undivided. I don't have to be concerned that the Son loves me, and the Father doesn't, or if there's any kind of separation in any way, shape, or form. There's one God who has redeemed us by his blood. That's good news. That's good news. Show us the Father. Well, study Jesus Christ, and you'll see the Father. If you see Christ, you see the Father. All right.